Our Democrat of the day goes from the Senate District 53, which is basically the east side, Woodbury, south of 94, and a little bit on the west side of 694 over there, but it really most of it is on the east side of 694, the southeast metro. Senator Susan Kent, who has been there since 2012 in the Minnesota Senate, she's kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign and the work she's been doing in the Senate. Senator, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Well, good to talk to you, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It's, it is Martin Luther King Day. Obviously, yep. it's a very important day, a day for us to remember the striving for, you know, equity that we should be looking for here. Do you have any thoughts about MLK Day?
Well, yeah, it is such an important day and such an important to think back about his life and his legacy, but then also to think about what it means for us today in so many different ways. I actually just tweeted out recently something that I had read in the New York Times from Charles Blow, which I really recommend to everybody. Mm-hmm. Because we tend to think about, you know, the optimistic Dr. King, I Have a Dream, and this is sort of Charles Blow's story too, but he says, you know, he reminds us that it's not just about appealing to America's better angels, but also about ruthlessly calling out its persistent demons.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, we have a lot of work to do in this country, and this is a day to remember that and recommit to that.
Yeah, I posted earlier about this, that he was out in California and did a speech in the early 60s about that. He said, you know, you can't ignore the inequity we have, and that if you ignore that, you can't solve problems unless you acknowledge them. And that was, I think, his big thing. And I think that's what made a lot of people that were uncomfortable with what Martin Luther King had to say was the fact that he pointedly could cut through the fog and point out just very clearly the inequity that existed in America, and moving forward, the inequity that exists today, off his own same words from back then.
That's right, and you know, and I was a very little girl when he was assassinated, and it is amazing to me, you know, that we are still struggling with these conversations and still having to have, you know, make these same points and get people to realize that unless we are dealing with these inequities and this injustice that exists for too many of our fellow Americans, you know, we still have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. The Senator, I want to ask you something just in regards to just how you do work here, because you are the assistant minority leader. When you're a senator, I mean, obviously you're concerned about District 53. You also have larger bills. You're on numerous committees and stuff. But I imagine, I mean, how much extra work does that give you when you're something like the assistant minority leader?
It does, you know, but it's wonderful to be able to represent my colleagues and to be in that position to be able to listen to them and to bring their great ideas and passion into the discussion and into the priorities, and to represent our caucus, you know, at different speaking engagements and, you know, in the work that we're doing as a caucus. So it's been really great. And the way we do it in the Senate is our leadership is sort of determined based on the geography we represent. So Senator Bach represents Greater Minnesota, and Senator Jeff Hayden is Minneapolis and St. Paul, and then I represent the suburbs, and Carolyn Lane is our freshman representative. And, you know, having the opportunity, because I think things, as we know, and people keep talking about, you know, things are really changing in the suburbs. And, you know, the suburban members of our caucus now make up over 50% of the caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real change, you know. And like when I got reelected to my second term in 2016, that was the first time since 2000 that this seat hadn't flipped. So, you know, we're mm-hmm. we're really aware that, you know, it's been hard for a lot of suburban members to build that experience and that knowledge. you know, so that we can most effectively represent our communities. And I'm real excited about where we are now.
I want to bring you up because you truly are kind of the ideal candidate to present to help out the suburban seats. We are going to have a lot of suburban seats that are Republican right now that are going to be up for grabs and hopefully flipping to the Democrats like we had on the House seats back in 2018. You represent a district. I mean, Woodbury for many years was a little more conservative. It is becoming, more Democrat. Like you said, you've been there now. You've had two terms there. You're looking at a district. The suburbs are changing. Trump is not exactly popular in these suburbs. Do you feel as if there's a good path when you not just look at your district, but from the knowledge you've gotten from your seat, that we can see the DFL pick up these extra seats around the suburban ring and swing the Senate back to the Democrats?
Well, I'll answer that in a couple of ways. First of all, I have no greater commitment right now than to flipping the majority in the Minnesota Senate. We had the opportunity to do some really great things last session with Governor Walz and his agenda of One Minnesota, and obviously with the House under a DFL majority and the work of Speaker Hortman. But the obstruction from Senate Republicans was kind of breathtaking to sit there in the front row and watch it. But when you think about the suburbs, yes, there are still opportunities to do pickups there, but we need to make sure that we're representing the entire state. And we've got some great candidates all around the state. I think there's a lot of time between now and November, but I think this could be a good year, but we all have to work really hard. Everybody has to show up and volunteer and vote.
Well, and you bring that up too. I mean, because obviously, there are the suburban seats that we can pick up here. I think one of the big keys the DFL learned in 2018 was going into Republican districts that had not had DFLers knocking on doors and putting up a challenge. Not only did we flip a lot of seats, but you also, in the way of elections go, you forced Republicans to have to go spend money in districts they never anticipated having to spend money in. And when you start doing that, that's when you start seeing big swings. And I think that is the key, once again, is getting the DFLers, like I said, not only into, friendly territory, Hopkins, St. Louis Park, stuff like that, but getting into the more Republican suburbs, getting out into the Republican rural areas, out into the western, southeastern part of the state, southwestern part of the state, the northern part of the state. Getting them out there, I think that is how you get those seats flipped on a large scale, is because the Republicans really do not have a game plan to defend statewide.
I agree with you completely, and we definitely do. And I think, we have, like I said, a lot of work to do to get there, but we have all the fundamentals in place to make it be really, really successful in November so that we can do the things we want to do. I mean, when we look at making sure that everybody has access to affordable health care, good heavens, we're still talking about insulin.
Yes.
Which it just blows the mind that this is even still a conversation. Our schools at all levels of education, from early learning to lifelong learning, all of our infrastructure, whether it's broadband across Minnesota, or our water infrastructure, and certainly transportation, which I've been fighting for since I got elected. These are just the basic things that we know make Minnesotans succeed and well and thriving, and that's what we need to keep fighting for.
Senator Susan Kent's joining us, Democrat of the day today. Let's talk about last session. Let's get a success story. What's one thing that you were able to work on that got through here that you feel definitely is going to help out not only your district, but also Minnesotans as a whole?
Well, one thing that I really worked on too hard, if you consider, but it's so fundamental, and that was the election security funding.
Yes.
That, the Minnesota Senate was the last body in the entire country to make sure we had access to that funding, which never should have been turned into some sort of political partisan football. But we got that done, and I actually met with Secretary of State Steve Simon not that long ago, and, they're doing the work. And so that was something that, I banged on that for a long time, and unfortunately it went to the bitter end of session, which meant it took that much longer to get that money actually making a difference in protecting our elections, and we all know how important that is. And the other thing I will point out is, and it did not get a hearing in the Senate, I've carried this bill now for almost 4 years. It's the paid family and medical leave bill, which will make such a difference for so many Minnesotans, and it was blocked in the Senate. But, you know, in working with Representative Lori Halverson and chair of the Commerce Committee in the House, they did a great job with that bill, made a lot of progress on it. And so hopefully we're setting it up to succeed much sooner rather than later.
Well, what is the game plan looking for you? I mean, just yourself. I'm not looking at the caucus per se, but here you are. You're in an election year here. You want to hold that seat for a third term, which I think would be a fantastic thing. When you're looking at your district here, what do you want to deliver to 53, and what do you want to work on as a whole in 2020?
You know, some of these suburban districts, and as I've traveled around the state, this can be very different in different communities. I mean, we have, you know, some bonding projects here and there, and I've been able to do some things over time. But, it is different in these suburban districts where we just don't have the same kind of bonding asks that you might have in some rural communities, for example, or in communities where you have big higher ed institutions, which we don't out here. But, you know, what I hear from my constituents, and this is across the spectrum of, you know, political ideology, it's what everybody wants. Good schools, mm-hmm. safe communities, roads that work and help everybody get to work and get customers to their businesses. Healthcare is a huge one. Making sure that our kids have good opportunities after high school, whether it's, you know, career and technical, or, you know, higher ed through a 4-year college. There, you know, it is the basics. And my community is one that knows that when Minnesota is doing well, we're doing pretty well. And, you know, we just need to make sure that people understand that we're being thoughtful stewards of these resources and that we're building them for a brighter Minnesota.
You've got a few communities in here, but Woodbury is one of them. I actually spent a lot of time out in Woodbury the last 2 years because my son played baseball and we were out in that area. You know, a lot of the suburbs, I think, can learn from your district. I have been so impressed. I mean, it is not easy. As you talk about roads and schools, you're developing. This is an area that, well, I think to a point was underdeveloped for a while, but they have taken on the development of the southeastern areas in these communities, and they're doing a great job. And I understand that there's a lot of city committees and the mayors and stuff like that that are part of this, but your district is doing it right. And I think that there's a lot of people that can look at your district, especially in the suburban ring, and say, okay, how are they doing the growth as competently as you guys are? Because that's exactly how I'd say it. You guys are just doing a great job anticipating, meeting the needs, and then looking in the future. And I think there's a lot of communities that are having trouble with that.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I am so, and you know, now that I am in this role where I get to work closely with our community and county leaders, I get to watch this up close and personal and see it. We had the opportunity just last week to do a grand opening for this public safety training center that's a joint venture between Cottage Grove and Woodbury. It's actually in Cottage Grove, just on the other side of the line, but we're all one big happy community out here. And it's those partnerships. So it's the partnerships between the two cities, and there was a state bonding commitment into that as well. If you were out here for some of the sports, you might have been at the sports center there by East Ridge High School.
Yes.
And everybody looks at that and thinks, that's some big blown-out high school. Well, it is a very nice, good high school, East Ridge is. But it's also a partnership with the city, and a lot of those fields are run by the city and Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. And a local community organization, arts organization, partners with part of the theater infrastructure there. So it's just what you said. It's very competent. It's very well thought out and planned. It's not crazy high tax or anything like that. They're very responsible in making sure that these are smart investments, but it is, it's very well done. And I'll also say something that's caught, you know, some attention recently is Woodbury had to recently announce some plans to do some water filtration, which has to do with the PFAS situation. Yes. Out here in the East Metro. And again, they were on top of it. They brought in me and my House members, Representative Steve Sandell and Representative Chu Zhang, who also represent Woodbury, working with the DNR and the MPCA and the governor's office and 3M to, on a timely basis, get a solution in place so that when the high demand time for water comes around next summer, we don't have to skip a beat because they did it right. And it's, you know, everybody's always surprised when they learn that Woodbury is now the 8th largest city in the state of Minnesota.
It is.
It is. And it's, you know, it is just incredibly, I believe, well run and very well appreciated by the members of our community.
I'm not going to say any names. There are some communities, suburban communities I have been to, where the mentality is we are going to try to say small town and it just doesn't work. And Woodbury, I think that's one of the things I like about Woodbury is that you guys understand Minneapolis-St. Paul, the metro area is growing, which means opportunity. It means people looking for places to live. And there's two ways you can do this. You can do it haphazard where you end up having a lot of problems, a lot of fighting. You know, you talked about the like school fields and stuff like that, where there's entity here, entity here, entity here. No one works together. Or you can do it like your district has and Woodbury has, where they've gone on out there and they've worked together. And like I said, been out there. It is magnificent. Woodbury is a great town, and they've one of the things, like I said, it's great about that town is you can see it's geared for the future, and that I think that is the key is that they're ready for that growth that's going to happen, and it's going to happen on their terms. And I think that's just wonderful to see.
Yep, it really is. I'm sitting here looking out my kitchen window at the trails and the parks that, you know, because that has been a huge part of the quality of life that has been a real commitment out here. And it's something that people just love, that you can get out and go for a walk with your kids or your dog and just feel like you've stepped away and not realize you're only 15 minutes away from downtown St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You just nailed it there. It's wonderful. I will say, my personal thing is, I hope that your career is long because I eventually want to see you as the Senate Majority Leader. So I want you to be, I want to see you go back for yet another term in the state Senate.
Well, you're very kind, Matt. Thank you for your well wishes.
I want everyone out there listening right now. Obviously, we have a lot of districts we have to look at here. But, I mean, obviously, Susan Kent, this is a Senate voice we cannot lose. So, SusanKentForSenate.com, SusanKentForSenate.com. Volunteer, donate if you can. I'll make links to all this up on the social media sites a little bit later on. And Senator Susan Kent, the Democrat of the day. Senator, thank you very much. All my best. Great work in the leadership. Great work in the Senate as a senator, and I look forward to another 4 years after this upcoming election.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll see you on Twitter.
I'll see you on Twitter. Senator Susan Kent, Democrat of the day. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.